And welcome to the Dragon Thistle Rugby Pod. Completely forgot what I was going to say there. Fantastic. Great start to the podcast. As always. Shit happens. Yeah, my name's Sean. I'm joined by Mike, as usual. I say that every week. How's it going, mate? You all right? Good?
Yeah, just coming to the end of a stressful week for me. Just moved house down to Pembrokeshire. So taking a pregnant wife, a three-year-old and a dog down was quite stressful, and I drew the short straw with the whole thing as well. Helen drove down in the morning. I had to drive down with a dog that was being sick in my boot, and a three-year-old that I had to have her music on all the way down because she demanded it. So I got here and Helen was like, "Oh, it's quite a nice drive, isn't it?" I was like, "Fuck off!"
Brutal. Brutal. I'll take broken ribs over that, mate, to be fair. Moving house sucks.
Yeah. The movers we had were pretty good, to be fair. They got loads, like they were just rapid, and they got us, once they got down here, they'd emptied out the two big trucks within like an hour and a half, something like that. They were rapid, so. Yeah.
Winding.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I mean, to be fair, obviously I hadn't had the best of weeks. I'm still a bit sore. What was even worse is that we obviously were with each other on Friday, weren't we? We were with a group of friends and everyone. I had to sit there drinking lemonade all night while everyone else was getting on it. Anyone who does actually know me knows how brutal that was for me.
In fairness, I get it was, but you were still like louder than everyone else anyway, and everyone was drinking.
Not a chance. I was sat there so quiet, just like thinking to myself, "Oh, I could probably just like have one or two, couldn't I?" And then probably end up drooling somewhere. Like, so took a lot. Considering like Paz and Roy were shit states, like, to be fair.
Yeah, fair one. I wasn't too bad. I was quite good.
Yeah, you were actually, weren't you? Yeah. You remember even, weren't you?
I wasn't going to drink whiskey. I didn't want to unleash Miguel in Paz and my sister's house. Like, so.
I dodged the bullet because there's no doubt I probably would have joined in with that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the positive was no hangover on Saturday. That's pretty decent, to be fair, mate.
Yeah, take that every time, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. But I am looking forward to a hangover soon, mate.
You have to come down and visit then, mate. Come down and visit.
Yeah.
3 nights out in Haverford West. It's rough, mate. It is rough.
Right on my street, innit?
Yeah, you're from Perth, aren't you, lad?
I'm about to watch both tests now, and I'm in touch to drop a beer for both tests.
In fairness, you could have done with a few beers to watch that second test.
That's a beautiful segue, that, Michael. Fantastic segue. So, yeah, we will jump into that now. Stop chatting shit like we usually do. And as Mike said, yeah, hopefully a lot of people were quite drunk on Saturday. It wasn't a great game. Wasn't a good result for the Lions, obviously. And we'll get right into it now. So, obviously, South Africa winning 27-9. Obviously, really unfortunate. The first things first, just to take a positive out of it, at least the Lions are 1-0 up. It is taking it into a decider.
Yeah.
So, we haven't got a dead rubber. Don't get me wrong. I think you're all the same as me. I would have preferred a Lions win 2-0.
Yeah, 100%.
Series one. But then a decider is kind of cool as well. Like, it adds a bit of tension to it, doesn't it? Makes the last game a bit more interesting, in my opinion. Even if I would have preferred a 2-0. But yeah. Listen, mate, where do we start? Where do we start with all this? There's been so much said by press, by fans. Some of it completely agree with, some of it I think there's certain things within this game that I think people are just completely either ignoring or haven't really thought about, which obviously we will get into, and obviously we'll talk about the selection for the third test, which is yet again brought out a lot more questions and things like that, mate. But yeah, so what was your thoughts of the game then, mate? To be fair, I had to watch it back on the Sunday. I watched it on my phone in the garden, so, with no commentary, which is the worst. Don't ever watch big games with no commentary. It's just, I didn't have to listen to Will Greenwood, which was decent, to be fair.
Yeah, I don't know. What is it best to talk about some of the refereeing decisions first or the performance first?
I mean, it all goes hand in hand, doesn't it, really? So, this thing, the refereeing decisions could have changed the game. I don't think the Lions lost because of refereeing decisions, but there is a lot to talk about with referees, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like the first one, like which people haven't really mentioned that much, I thought Mako did a high shot pretty early on, you know. And that's not even, wasn't even looked at.
Do you have a tackle on Peter Steph de Toy?
Yeah.
Borderline, I'm not saying it should, but that was borderline, you know, yeah. With the legs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Fair play, how strong must he be to lift him up like that, though? Then there was the Colby incident when he took out Connor Murray, and like when they said he landed on his back, I was like, what?
Right, so let's get into that first, then. Let's get into that controversy first, because this is where Razzy Erasmus, when he came out and made that 1 hour video, in a way, I get what he's trying to make a point to World Rugby about refereeing and refereeing decisions. Okay, fair enough. I don't agree with what he did. I don't, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, you're attacking a referee who's going to be an assistant referee for the rest of the tour. And as a director of rugby, I do think you shouldn't, you know, whether he said he's done it independently of the South African rugby union.
He didn't release it, did he?
So
it was released by someone else. So he's done it independently. I've done that in thingies.
The hour video he released himself, didn't he?
Say again?
When he did the one that was an hour long, he released himself, didn't he?
No, I think he recorded it himself, but it was released by something else, wasn't it? It wasn't released. It was like you said, an independent thing. So it wasn't officially
done by South African Rugby Union.
Yeah.
But he's representing the South African Rugby Union. He's the director of rugby. He's in charge. So anyway, by the by. But obviously, you know, that started, you know, stuff that we're still talking about now. And this is the problem with this series now. We're not actually talking about players. I mean, he done all that last week. I've said it about how many times, said it last week. He done all that to take all the pressure off the players, and it worked. Where no one's talked about you know, and they came into that game. But where were we? Sorry, so Colby. This is my bugbear, and now I should have really researched it. Was it the referee or was it Marius Jonker, the TMO, who said he landed on his back? I can't remember.
I'm not sure. I thought it was Jonker, but I'm not 100% sure.
Right, okay, yeah. So I thought it was Jonker as well. But even by the by, right? If one of them says he's landed on his back, the other one should say, no, he hasn't.
Yeah.
Listen, just watch that again. He's landed on his front. Like, to me, and this is where frustrations come with referees. If you watch some of that Super Rugby and you watch, obviously, Six Nations or Pro 14, you know, Rainbow Cup, blah, 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 Premiership, it is getting refereed differently. The Southern Hemisphere, especially New Zealand and Australia, they think red cards are ruining games and things like that. Like, so they're being a bit more cautious. The other thing to remember is the referee who was in charge at the weekend, Ben O'Keefe. He sent off an Australian player a couple of weeks before, and that red card was rescinded. It was said it was a bad decision. You can't tell me that maybe hasn't played in his mind when he's watched that, because my opinion is that's a red card. By the by, whether, you know, they're saying, oh, Conor Murray put his leg in his arm out. Put his leg in his arm out, because he could break his neck. this whole thing that it's all right, he landed on his arm and he put a leg out, so it wasn't so bad. You're like, yeah, no, because what he's meant to do is just torpedo his head into the floor. It's completely irrelevant in my opinion, you know. That was a bad decision. It was red all day. It was so dangerous. Yeah. They were saying, like, his eyes are on the ball. Doesn't matter.
You've still got a duty of care, haven't you? You've got to.
Yeah, of course. The thing is, he can have his eye on the ball. If he had his eyes on the ball and he jumped in the air with him, he hasn't even bothered competing.
Yeah,
I know. Right. it's timing. Don't get me wrong. I don't think Colby is that type of player.
You say that, but he had a head-on-head before. Before that, I think with Curry as well.
It's something else that they're not that just got completely ignored. Yeah. There's also the faff on Conor Murray.
Yeah. Do you know what annoyed me about it all as well? Sorry, just to go back.
No, go on.
In the first 2 minutes, there was like Alan Jones and was it Steph? Had a big kick off. He pulled them aside and said, "Right, this is like your one and only warning. After this, people are getting yellowed, blah, 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 blah." Happy with that. And then the Colby thing happened. Now, whether people think Dan Bigger made a meal of it or not, I think I would have struggled to get up if some big hooker flew into me like that. I thought I was just thinking whiplash straight away. But it all kicked off again. And like nothing, he did nothing about it, the ref, you know.
Yeah.
I know he yellow carded Colby, but that was for the incident before it.
Mm.
It's like you're not reffing the game the way you said you were going to. And if he'd done that, and if he'd been like, right, you've just taken Dan Bigger off the ball, that's a yellow. Whether people think he went down easy or not, I think he might have made a little bit of a meal of it, maybe. But still, he still got taken out when he wasn't even looking. You know, it was a cheap shot.
So this is where it annoyed me. There was a Scottish journalist. I'm not having a go, but I read his thing on Twitter. It was blah, blah, blah. And he said the embarrassing Bigger throwing himself on the floor. Like, dickhead, you report on rugby, obviously. Did you not see? Like, don't get me wrong. Did Bigger make a bit more of it? Did he make it a very dramatic fall? Yeah, he did. Do you know what I mean? But he was blindsided in the back. His face into Tig Furlong, which was quite funny. And then he hit the deck. You know, like you just said there, blindsided by Hooker, who's probably, 18, 19 stone?
Yeah.
You know? And just, yeah, you're right. I mean, from that point, you know, he didn't seem out of control, to be honest. I don't know. And it just, I mean, to be fair, it got away from the Lions after that first half. The refereeing decisions got away from the Lions. And I'm not saying they were, you know, I'm not saying there weren't penalties or were penalties. But yeah, I mean, the whole series it's become a bit of a joke, to be honest. We're not talking about the rugby anymore.
Yeah.
We're talking about shit that's going on off the field. And, you know, obviously World Rugby have come out and made statements and things like that. Like, and it's just, and that's the thing, we're doing it now. You know, yeah. we're talking about refereeing decisions.
Should we go into the rugby then?
Should we try? What annoyed me is people were making out about Doohan should have been red carded for kicking Colby. It was like, yeah, he tripped him. He's trying to kick the ball. He mistimed it massively. Don't get me wrong, but it's a yellow card.
Yeah.
He hasn't. Here's the point. You just said about Doohan, how strong he is. I reckon if Doohan kicks you, you're not getting up. Do you know what I'm trying to say? If he's booted you, he's just he is massively mistimed it. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying that, but there's people there going off. Colby goes, Doohan's got to go, and it's just like, get grip, mate. That was yellow, and Colby was definitely red. Don't care. I wouldn't even discuss that with someone. You can tell me as much as you want. He got his hands out. He did this. He did this. Yeah, yeah. Even with his hands and his leg there, he still landed on his face.
Yeah.
Like you said, the frustration is you've got referees with multiple fucking replays going, he landed on his back. That's if I was Gatland, those are the sort of things I'd be saying in the public. But in fairness, what he's done and what his other coaches, they've done the best thing they could. They've stayed out of it. You know, because to be honest, with that Colby one, you'd have every right to go, listen, that referee said he landed on his back. That is disgusting. But I mean, the whole thing about the TMO thing, which kind of moves into there now, the first half was 64 minutes. And obviously, I was watching, I don't know if you ever seen any of the video of Squid Rugby. You've heard of Squid Rugby, yeah?
Yeah.
So he said and other people have said, you could see it was a tactic of South Africa to slow the game down. Every time there was a scrum or something like that, there was penalties, there was too long with refereeing. Just like you just said there, you know, when that melee happened, the ref at that point should have just gone, right, you're going, see you later, that's it. And when Alwyn Jones, Khaleesi, and Wings just go, listen, you can either whinge or you can get off off the pitch yourselves. Done. You know, I agree with you on that point. But yeah, the first half was 64 minutes. That's just, you know, for a 40, we know it's never going to be 40 minutes, but to add another 24 minutes on in the first half, it just dragged out. I think I said to you, wasn't it? It wasn't exactly an advert for non-rugby fans, is it?
No, 100%. If you weren't a rugby fan and you thought, I'll give it a watch, you'd be like, nah, I'm all right. Whereas Six Nations this year was brilliant.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, without fans and stuff, we weren't exactly looking forward to it, and it was completely different, wasn't it? Especially after that Autumn Nations, which was fucking dire. Yeah, let's get into the rugby. We've had a little whinge about bloody refs and time and stuff like that. Like, I mean, one of the things I said before was, I think, you know, there's things that people have missed because of other things that have happened, and obviously it was a sound beating in the end, wasn't it? The Lions were actually winning 9-6 at half-time.
Yeah.
If Henshaw scores that try, it's right in front of the sticks, you'd imagine Bigger converts that. It's 16-6 at half-time for the Lions. It's a huge momentum shift. It's a huge, you know, the South Africa would run off that pitch going, listen, we're only 3 points down here. We could have been 10 points down. We've done well here. You know, and that's not to excuse what happened in the second half, because, you know, the Lions are soundly beaten. But I think people aren't, you know, really taking that into consideration. I think it's because it was a huge kick fest, wasn't it? It seemed like the tactics from both teams, especially the Lions, I think Bigger only passed the ball 3 times the whole game.
Yeah.
Which he's took some criticism for, and you're like, I'm sure that's part of a game plan.
Has to be.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a game plan, and I think, you know, South Africa's defence is very good until you put them under pressure close to the try line, then they just give up penalty after penalty. So in the first half, I thought the Lions were okay in the first half. Listen, it wasn't a great game of rugby, but I thought, you know, they were doing well. You know, they were up at half time, end of. They won the first game, but that second half was just, I mean, you had, you know, the bench didn't make any impact, which it did the week before. And the pack just got marmalised, didn't they?
Yeah.
Africa's bomb squad, you know, did a massive job. Lou Diego came off the bench and just started picking off lineouts for fun. And then obviously, you know, a lot of talking points this week. They lost the aerial battle. Interestingly enough, though, we're talking about, you know, Duane. I've criticised him in the air. But this is what I was saying. I think South Africa are great in the air. Whenever a kick's gone up on Duhan's wing, South Africans have never won the aerial duel.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Whether they've dropped it or they just haven't caught it, that counts as well. I'm not necessarily saying, you know, Duhan has won the ball every time, but he's done enough to put them off, which is really great. So, you know, well done to him, in fairness. But obviously, you know, we're not blind. The Lions lost the aerial battle massively last weekend. So
it was the thing with the aerial battle as well. The thing that I spoke to you, I think, in the week about it. It wasn't even the fact that, you know, one person was going for it, and they were losing it. But at least they'd have like people around to pick up the scraps. Like at times, it was two or three people going for it. They'd all miss it, and then like that's three people out the game. Like there was no one it didn't look like there was anyone putting a name on it, you know, taking control of the situation, whether that was attacking or defending. I mean, Hoggy did a few times where he defended and came through, and you know, he'd go up on his own to get it, and you'd be, oh, he's going to take this one, or he'd catch it and then spill it at the end and things like that. I mean, all three of the back three players were awful under the high ball for the Lions. Like
my other complaint under the kicks as well, attacking kicks as well. We spoke about this. We do speak about it all the time off the podcast. And you said the same thing. One of my frustrations was no one goes up to. If you notice that hardly anyone went up to catch it, attack it.
Yeah.
They were just trying to pat it back, and I don't know whether that's a tactic or not. But you know, if you're going to go up, go up to catch it, and if you can't catch, if you think I'm not going to catch this, try and pat it back. They just didn't seem to have any conviction in going up in the air and grabbing it. You know, in fairness, you know, the kicks and the kick pressure South Africa put you under, you know, it's their bread and butter, isn't it, at the end of the day. Pfaff is one of the best in the world. Andre Pollard's got a great kicking game as well. And obviously that did undo the Lions. But, yeah, I mean, like you say, I mean, more so, I mean, obviously they've made two changes to the back three for this week, which we'll get into later. But, I mean, they've took a lot of criticism in the back three. And in fairness, yeah, defensively or whatever, in the air they did. But like they took like a bit of flack in attack, and that's harsh because they didn't really get anything at all. I think, was it Henshaw or someone didn't even receive a pass, did they, throughout the whole game? It was, or Chris Harris, I think it was, maybe. Or one pass in a whole 80.
Yeah, so Doohan, there was two, like, so this is the bit, and I think that was in the bit when there was this thing, why they picked Doohan again. So Doohan had two opportunities where he would have probably had try-scoring opportunities. And one was from Anthony Watson when he threw the ball in front of them straight out of touch. And the other one was Henshaw, I think, went through a little bit. And all he had to do was, it might have been in the first game, actually. Yeah, in the first game, when he went through, you know, he did that knock-on.
Oh, yeah.
If he just passed the ball right, like Doohan was one-on-one with, like, Colby or something like that, and you know, there's been a good chance of him going through. But so obviously he runs like half decent support lines as well. So I mean, yeah, I'm like with you, like the high ball contest. I mean, I suppose when you just see what's happened to Connor Murray take going for a high ball, you're probably a bit reluctant as well, though.
I mean, I don't think South Africa are great under the high ball defensively.
No,
I don't.
100% they're not. No.
Pimpy's class. But I think you can get it, Willie LaRue and Colby all day, you know. That second half. I mean, the second half, you know, you had Colby, Andre Pollard had a lot of control, but the forwards just got battered, didn't they? End of. Absolutely. You know, Curry and Laws were anonymous, I think, just completely not in the game. Itoje and Alan Wynne-Jones didn't have necessarily the most effective games. Itoje definitely. Alan Wynne didn't. I mean, he was the top tackler, so he was putting himself about, but that doesn't necessarily mean he had that much influence on it. And just the scrum got mangled, didn't it? I mean, it's the second half, how it all changed in the second half is, you know, it's talk and cheese, really, because the Lions were competitive in the first half. What's worrying me is we don't seem to have an answer for the defence. It seems to be the tactic is to kick, which is fair enough. But I just don't think the Lions have worked out the South African defence. I think, you know, obviously there's Aki and Henshaw this week. They should have been in the first test, in my opinion. Hard to say because Lions won the first test. Yeah, just a bit lost, weren't they, really? And I suppose when if you're spilling balls and then you're packing down, bringing Ty Burn on with 9 minutes to go when you've lost the game is completely. They should take load. I mean, people haven't even speaking about that. They should take so much flack for that.
Yeah, I mean,
you could have pulled Alan Jones, could have pulled Laws, you know, early doors, 50, 60 minutes, put a fresh man on.
Yeah,
just annoys. I mean, I've said it before, they should have had a second row on the bench. And listen, I know Ty Burn plays second row, but he's predominantly played back row for the Lions this year and predominantly plays back row for Ireland as well. And they should have had a recognised second row. And I know, you know, someone, you can say, well, Laws could jump in. Laws has got a lot of work on his plate in that back row. You know, and I think, yeah, they just got bullied. At the end of the day, they just got bullied. They had the bomb squad and it worked. You know, you had people like Sinclair getting mullered, didn't you? Sinclair got mullered.
You couldn't really say, I mean, the thing, you could say it for the whole 23. No one really had a good game.
No.
And what you're saying about like the attack, and we haven't figured out, you know, the South African defence, things like we haven't had a platform to attack. And I think that's what the forwards have to like try and fashion for the backs this week. And then if they do manage to do that, if they get parity, then the backs have got to take advantage of it. You know, if they get parity and they get quick ball, we know that Ali Price is very, very good at getting that ball out there. And then it's
well,
like,
that's
bigger to like pull some strings.
That's the main thing about Conor Murray. Was, you know, I don't want to have a go at Conor Murray, but he's been massively poor the whole game, the whole tour, in my opinion. And he was given his opportunity to start that second test. And you think that's a rocket up your arse, isn't it, really? Listen, you would drop for the first one, but we give you the responsibility of the second, you know, the closer, potentially the closer. And then he was so slow to all them rooks. It was, you know, you can say what you want about Bigger, and that's fine. Everyone's got an opinion about Bigger, haven't they?
Yeah.
And that's fine. But if your scrum half is so slow to the breakdown, that, you know, Bigger or anyone else around them has already been lined up, haven't they? It's just, yeah. I mean, they've got, I think that second test, they got the tactics wrong. I think they thought the South Africans would tire again. But like you say, I think when the game's being drawn out by another 24 minutes for stoppages and stuff and water boys and things like that coming on, South Africa were getting their rest, weren't they? So, you know, I mean, you know, I said it last week, how fitter can they get in a week? Obviously, that, you know, came to bite me on the ass, didn't it? But it's true. But, like, the South Africans want to slow the game down. They want to, you know, they're not playing any rugby either, are they? But when what they have done, in fairness to them, especially in that second test, is when they did get into the Lions 22, they took points and they scored tries at important times. Yeah. And it was just a nightmare. I mean, the thing to look at is, you know, this team has become the worst Lions team ever because of what happened. They won the first test. They're not bad players. Warren Gatland is not a bad coach, whatever anyone wants to say. Whatever anyone wants to say, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. But it's just, I think, you know, we have to take it with South Africa, a good team. With good team, with good players, well coached. And I will say it, you know, they've done a job on the ref as well. Whatever Erasmus was going on about, it proved it on that day. They didn't want to pull the trigger on Colby's red card. They only looked at what they wanted to look at. They didn't want to make it too bad. You know, it is what it is. None of those things, you know, Colby, all right, Colby getting sent off that early could have changed the game, but the rest of it, you know, the Lions were soundly beaten. And obviously with his selection for this week, you know, he's changed it up quite a bit. But like I say, at least it wasn't, you know, the Lions are 1-0 down. At least they've got this game to make a difference.
So I agree with you about like Gatland, obviously, and the players, that they don't come bad players overnight. And Gatland is obviously a quality coach. But I suppose like they're going out playing his tactics. And at the moment, you said yourself, like, the tactic is obviously to kick the ball. And, like, we're trying to beat South Africa at their own game. And, okay, yeah. If we win the third test, that's fine. But they're just, like, he's got, like, Gregor Townsend. And I obviously, I'm a bit biased because who is there as an attack coach. So he should be... like
are you going to say he doesn't listen to him? Do you think he doesn't listen to Townsend?
It's not like he doesn't listen to him. And then they even he didn't have to listen to him anyway. He's the head coach. It's his tactics. But clearly, this is far more a Gatland attack than a Townsend attack.
Well, you don't know, do you? We don't know. This is the thing. We're assuming it's a Gatland. Yeah, it's more of a Gatland game plan. I would counter that and say, he is the head coach, but Townsend is also a head coach of his country. And if he probably wanted something, he'd probably get it, I'd imagine. You know, he must have some input into that kicking game. It can't be that he's just gone, Gatland's gone, listen, doesn't matter what you say, we're just going to kick. And I agree, it's not a Townsend attack. It's not, and it hasn't looked good. That's why I say I don't think they've figured out the South Africa, that's, you know, the Townsend thing is to figure out the South African defence, isn't it? And they must have come up with this tactic of just kick the ball, which is boring as hell. You know what I mean? I think by picking Murray, it was always going to be that way, wasn't it? I'm so happy that Ali Price is back in.
Yeah.
Starting. Because he will kick the ball. I mean, he's going to kick the ball. But I hope he's going to be to the rucks quicker. And I hope he's, you know, we try something a bit different. I think...
Do you remember his like little kick that he did against Wales for Darcy Graham? Yeah. Like to see a little bit of that in there, you know.
In fairness though, in that the start of that second test though, Bigger was trying that, wasn't he? And I liked it. He was mixing up his little kick, little dinks and stuff like that. It was great. I'm not necessarily sure all the players are on the same wavelength. And I'd like to see that again, mixing up. Because, you know, if Willie LaRue or Colby or whatever are expecting a bomb, or, you know, the way that South Africa defence is very aggressive, it rushes up very aggressively, that little dink over the top and stuff could work a treat. Those are the sort of things we need to see. We just need to see him execute it. He tried it in the first half for a couple of times, didn't come off, and he kind of put them back in his pocket.
Yeah.
I think that is something that he could probably have gone back to. And that's on Bigger's head as well, you know. I think he'll prefer having like Aki at 12 as well, because, you know, Aki can, he's going to carry, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think, but if you can get Aki, you either use him as a carrier or you use him as a decoy. And South Africa will probably, will expect more from Aki than they will from Henshaw from 12. You know, you were saying about having someone who can carry. And, you know, I hope they use, I don't, I hope they don't just use Aki as a crash ball. I hope they use him as a decoy. Because South Africa are going to have to defend Aki now. So I suppose, as we're already talking about Aki, might as well talk about the team for Saturday, mightn't we? And just put a sort of line under that second test. There was loads of bad stuff. You know, it just wasn't meant to be, but... Yeah, things will change this week, hopefully. You know, he's made 6 starting changes, and I think it's 8 altogether. 9 altogether. And to be fair, when I see the team, a few people I think are lucky. A few people I'm not surprised who come in at all. A few surprises on the bench. But I'll go through the lineup and then we can obviously discuss what we think, what we change. So, Wyn Jones has finally come in. So, the front row is Wyn Jones, Ken Owens, Tadhg Furlong, Sekerova Toji, Alamon Jones, and then Laws, Curry, and Conan. So, there's only 2 changes in the pack. Surprising, probably.
It would be better if his name was Conan, by the way.
Conan, yeah. Conan the Barbarian, but Conan. And then the back line of Price, Bigger, Doohan, Aki, Henshaw, Adams, and Sanjay at fullback. And then you've got a bench of Cameron Dickey, Mako, Sinclair, Beard, Simmons, Murray, Russell, and Daly. So we'll discuss, obviously, the Lions team. We'll go a little bit into the South African team as well once we discuss this, because obviously there's some news coming out of that as well. So obviously he's made 6 changes to the starting lineup. The fact Wyn Jones has come in, I'm not shocked by that. If he's, you know, he was down to start the first test, wasn't he? I think, you know, Mako and Sutherland had a bit of a tough time in that second test. So I don't think there's no shock there. Ken Owens, me personally, I wouldn't have picked him. I would have picked Jamie George to start with Luke Cowan-Dickey on the bench, whereas Luke Cowan-Dickey, for me, you know, he's like Malcolm Marks for them. I think he's great coming off the bench. You know, not to say he can't start, because he can, but I think he's got more impact than the other two.
Yeah.
Furlong was always going to stay.
With Ken Owens, from listening to Gatland, it seems to be more of the partnership that he has with Wyn Jones.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, obviously he got picked off in the line-out, didn't he? But Ken Owens hasn't missed a tackle all tour as well. So if we're I'm throwing in stats, I don't like stats, but he hasn't missed a tackle all tour. But yeah, I think it is because of his relationship with Wynn Jones. So, you know, obviously, you know, he's got to come in and make a difference, Danny Ken Owens. I think also, you know, with the players that have dropped out, you've got no Farrell in the squad, you've got no Hogg in the squad. Who else has dropped out? So, you know, you're losing leadership, aren't you? Ken Owens is a leader, really. I told you, and Alwyn Jones are stuck in the second row. I think I sent you a team. I think I dropped Alwyn Jones. I would have. I'm not shocked he's still in there because, you know, at the end of the day, he was the top tackler last week. But
if he wasn't the skipper, he wouldn't be starting.
Probably not, no. But I'd have probably had Henderson in there. Or Beard, which obviously will obviously Beard's managed to get on the bench. The back row is a big one for me, though. At the end of the day, I told you he was going to play. I like you to sell Alwyn Jones as the captain. If there's any time that you need someone to inspire, it is probably the third test on Alwyn Jones, isn't it? Every time you sort of knock him down, he seems to get back up. Either way, he's in the team. The back row is the one that baffles me. Conan, I'm not too fussed that he's still there. I don't think he's necessarily done anything bad, but a number eight is never that good in a retreating pack. And it doesn't matter. You could be Kieran Reid, you could be Vermeulen, you could be Faletau, you could be anyone, any number eight in the world. If your pack's going backwards, you're not as effective. But I don't think he's done anything wrong. The other two, though, I think, for me, Laws and Curry shouldn't be in the team, and I'd have put Byrne and Watson in.
Yeah, agree.
I feel sorry for Ty Byrne. I think, you know, for the first two tests, he's been used, 10, 15 minutes in the first test. I think he got 9 minutes at the weekend. It was a token substitution, in my opinion. And, yeah, I felt really sorry for him. You know, one of the areas where we've been mullered is the breakdown. Laws does not do anything to the breakdown. You know, you can say he hits rucks and all that, but when we're trying to compete for ball, he's non-existent. He just doesn't. It's not his game. He's carrying, he's tackling. He's there to be a nuisance in the tackle, let's say. Curry, on the other hand, you know, that is his bread and butter, but he has been so ineffective in the first two tests. And it's nothing against him, because he's obviously a very good player. Every player on this is a very good player. It just doesn't seem to have been his series, and I think I'm so shocked they've kept him in. You know, when people call him the next Richie McCaw, the English Richie McCaw, Richie McCaw's laughing at that. Tom Corey is a very good player. I think you can knock the next Richie McCaw right off, can't you? Now,
with the comments you made as well about Ty Byrne and Hamish Watson, they're the form 6 and 7. That's what they are. They're the two players that are in that were in the best form. People can say like Tom Corey, this Tom Corey that. Tom Curry missed 11 tackles in the Six Nations. Hamish Watson hasn't missed a tackle for about 2 years. And that's not me exaggerating. That's genuine. And
Ty Byrne.
Say again?
Why are you exaggerating?
And then, like you said, they were the two best players in Six Nations. Been very good on the tour. Granted, it's against lesser opportunity. But they've literally been given, between them, about 40 minutes to play against the South African team. And they might not have done much in them 40 minutes. Tom Curry hasn't done nothing in 160 minutes except give away penalties and run around like a headless chicken. His job is to be at the breakdown, disrupting the breakdown and doing stuff there, getting turnovers. He's just not done it.
I mean, the only thing I can think of with Watson is when he came on that first test, obviously he should have been binned. And he was quite ineffectual, but I always feel...
Tom Curry should have been binned.
Yeah. All right, calm down. I know when you're going to be, because you go high-pitched, don't you?
Yeah.
Should have been binned.
Get excited.
Let me finish. Hamish Watson was kind of ineffectual in that first test when he came on. He carried and he got smashed and he could have been yellow carded. Flip side to that is he still came on and finished the game out. End of the day, Lions won. Hamish Watson was Six Nations Player of the Year. I always feel sorry for someone who only gets about 15 minutes or something. It's something that was levelled at Liam Williams when, obviously, I'm going to say this, it is from Scottish fans, when the Hogg's getting dropped and they're like, well, Liam Williams will come in. But when he came on against South Africa in that first test, he dropped two balls, or he didn't do this, he didn't do that. And you're like, guys come off the bench cold. It's a bit like Hamish Watson and Ty Byrne. If Ty Byrne hasn't gotten his team because they feel he's been ineffectual, that's probably down to them. by giving him that time. I think, and I'm with you, Laws and Curry shouldn't be in this team, because I, except for people going on about Laws in that first test. First half, I don't really know who's on the pitch. The second half, brilliant. Brilliant. Curry wasn't really great at all in that first test. Got given another opportunity, which, you know, listen, he did. But he was ineffectual in the second test. Laws, really ineffectual. The other thing to think of is, you know, six of this pack have played majority of the minutes in this test series. That's tough. That's tough going, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I know they've freshened up with Wynn Jones and Ken Owens, but I do think we could have freshened up a bit more. And I think, you know, you could have had a Watson carrying Byrne, sort of wide channels, Watson and Byrne attacking that breakdown. So, yeah, I mean, I am surprised. I am surprised he's kept his the back row as it is. I mean, you don't lose anything in the line out with Laws, with Byrne either, do you?
Byrne, no, you know, exactly, yeah.
You still get that effectiveness from it as well. So, yeah, I'm not disappointed, because, you know, I hope Laws and Curry have blinders and, you know, shove it down my throat. You know, I'd love it if Tom Curry was man of the match on Saturday and the Lions won, you know?
Oh, I'd love it if Ali Price was man of the match.
Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. But, you know, it is what it is. The back line, in fairness, probably the one shock is that Duane catches his spot, but then same again, not too fussed. I'm not too fussed as long as they use him properly and as long as he starts looking for work. Same again, you don't know if it's a tactic, but the wingers, don't, Watson as well, so it's not just Duane, the wingers just aren't looking for work. And I think that's sometimes why they're getting mullered in midfield. It's the same thing, isn't it? Just going 12, 13, you know, start getting past. But Duane, you know, if you've got a huge winger who can put people on their asses, you've got to use him, not just isolate him on Colby.
And especially this game now, because you haven't just got one carrier, you've got two in the box, you've got Bundy,
yes,
you can have dummy runners, you can have all sorts.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, I'm happy Price is back, and I said it earlier, you know, we do need people getting to the ruck quicker, the service needs to be better, and I think, you know, Murray's passes is not what it used to be. You know, Biggs kept his place. I'm not shocked by that.
I'll be honest.
I know there's a few people who seem to be unhappy with it. Like, to me, yes, you could have thrown Finn Russell in, but Finn Russell hasn't played for, what, 3 weeks now? Maybe four?
Finn will just come on to win the game for the Lions,
mate. But that's it, though. I mean, listen, if Finn had started on Saturday, I'd probably say the same thing. It's a bit of a risk. He hasn't played for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But I still wouldn't be, you know, I'd have been like, Sam, let's get behind him. Yeah. Let's get him in. But, you know, Price and Bigger started that first test, didn't they? Did all right. So yeah. I'm happy with that. Aki and Henshaw, finally.
Price and Bigger, didn't they start against Japan as well?
Yes. Yeah, because Murray came on, didn't he? Yeah. So, yeah, they play together a bit now. Yeah, definitely. That's a good shout. Aki and Henshaw, I'm happy with this now. You know, there's talk of people wanting Farrell in at 12 to, you know, to get another distributor. Well, Farrell has not been a distributor for about 12 months. If Farrell played 12, you could just see more kicking, couldn't you, in my opinion? You know, Aki's not going to kick the ball. And people have said, oh, you know, you can't have this, you can't have that. You're like, well, what Aki does do, and I explained it before, is he puts a target on himself. They'll either carry, like you say, or dummy runners. And they play together. They should have played together in the first test. And it's nothing against, you know, Daly didn't exactly have a great game in that first test, did he?
No, terrible.
You know, so I'm finally happy with that. And then, you know, Josh Adams and Sanjay came in, which to me, Josh Adams, I think, should have been in the first test. You know, the fact he wasn't, obviously, it's been documented, you know, whether his head was in it after his kid had been born. And I think Gatland said he had a bit of an injury. So, you know, I don't think you lose much. All right, I know you said to me, you know, without Hogg being there, you miss like a second receiver, but he hasn't really done that much second receiving in the first two tests. So I don't think it's something they'll miss because they haven't had it. you know, could you? I mean, I think I text you. I put a team that I picked on our Twitter page, and I had Williams on the wing with Josh Adams and Hogg at fullback. I'd have kept Hogg and hid him on the wing or something like that. Like I put, you know, him and Williams, Sanjay could have swapped around, couldn't they, really?
Yeah,
if you're that concerned. So I would have kept Hogg, but then, you know, Liam Williams is a top-class player. Josh Adams, you know, there's nothing much else you can say, is there? He's top-class international. And I think, obviously, with, you know, Watson and Hogg having their issues, and I suppose that's why we say, you know, Doohan's lucky. But then, you know, who are you going to bring in? You're going to bring in Louis Rees-Sammet? You know, he is a pure talent. But, you know, I think he was exposed a bit in the warm-up games. So, you know, it would have been a big ask for him to come in. And I mean, don't get me wrong, he gives something, you know, if you want someone to chase a ball, he's probably the man.
Yeah, I mean, the back three, I've got no real issue with, like, two of the three were always going to get dropped. It was just which two were going to get dropped. But now they've picked Doohan, use him.
Yeah, definitely.
100%. If not, there's no point picking him.
Yeah.
You know, if you use Doohan, you know straight away, first thing that's going to happen, if he gets a bit of space, he's going to attract two or three people straight away. And straight away, then that means as soon as them two, three go over there, there's gaps straight away.
Yeah, I just have him running off price.
Yeah.
Have him running off price the whole time. Even if he doesn't get the ball, or even if he gets smashed, it will take two players to smash him, maybe three, to smash him and get involved. As long as the forwards are doing their job, if he gets around the corner, smash him, quick ball, you know, that releases Aki, Henshaw, Liam Williams, Josh Adams. You know, I'm saying it's like it's easy, but these I don't use him. Like I was telling you that stat, you know, that, you know, no one's caught the ball, or they've lost every aerial battle with Doohan. That's not because he's catching the ball; they're just using him to put people off, aren't they?
Yeah.
But what's the point? Because you could use Josh Adams, you could use Lou Rees-Sammet to do that, really, couldn't you?
Yeah, someone. 100%,
yeah. And then, listen, I know he's big, and that's probably what puts him off. But yeah. So overall, I'm pretty happy. You know, a few positions, I think, like you say, Owens, Laws and Corey, I think, are lucky to be involved. And the bench, though, I'm really happy with the bench, except for Connor Murray. I'd have run the risk of David.
Gareth Davis, yeah, again, same.
Because if you're going to put Russell on, you're going to put, like, the slowest to the ruck, the worst pass. You know, the scrum half who's been poor. I know David, you can call Davis poor on the tour, but he's had the least amount of minutes out of every player on the tour. Not down to his, you know, not his doing, obviously. But why put Murray, Russell and Daly? I've got no problem with Daly because he covers so many positions. I think, you know, he's that utility player I think you need in the team. You could have had Hogg there, in fairness. You know, well, obviously Daly, because he covers wing, fullback, centre. But I think with Russell and Dave, if you put Davis and Russell, I know Scottish fans will get annoyed, but you don't have to bring them on.
Yeah.
Price and bigger 80-minute players. And if you think, if you're winning by 3 or 4 points, let's say, and you just want to finish the game off, you could leave Price and bigger on. And it'd be shit on them, on Russell and Davis, but you could leave them on and just let them close the game. Dan Bigger is a very good player at closing out a game, you know. Ali Price has obviously matured loads. But the flip side to that is if you're behind by six, you need tries, let's say, 6 to 10 points. You need tries, 20 minutes to go. Russell, obviously the man for the job, innit? He's creative. He'll try something. He's a bit different. So I'm with that. Daly, yeah, he can do bits. He can, you know, he's a good rugby player. He's explosive when he wants to be. Connor Murray, though, there's no impact with him. I'm not being funny. You know, all right, you know, the flip side to that is someone could say, well, if the Lions are up by 4 points, they can bring Murray on and he'll see the game out. You don't need to. Ali Price is proven on this tour. He's a very good player. Obviously, I called that a couple of a few months ago. Just, Yeah. Oh, I had to tag you in it, mate. I had to tag you because, you know, you obviously, the Scots were like, no chance, Ali Price is on there. And by the way, mate, I will, I'm more than happy to give you some of that crack that I was smoking.
Mate, I am so happy. Like I said, generally, I really like Ali Price. I'm so glad that he, like, proved wrong. I did not think he would get taken on. I thought, because, like, obviously, because I just thought, like, they'd be taken. They'd look at Thomas Williams. Obviously, Ben Youngs took himself out of it. I just thought they were going to go for the more tried and tested.
Well, Thomas Williams should have toured, but he should have toured instead of Gareth Davis, not Ali Price. So, yeah, in the backs, yeah, I'm loving that Russell's there. Happy Daly, not so happy Murray. And then the forwards, made up. Because I think Calvin Dickie brings impact. Mako, Sinclair obviously do. Adam Beard's really deserved. Considering the shit he took when he got called up because it wasn't Johnny Gray, or more so actually, it wasn't James Ryan. I made up, and I think he's that counteractor. When they brought Lou Diego on and had Mostert in the back row last week, you know, they were bringing on a big unit. You know, the Lions are going to bring on a big guy who is South Africa Ray, wasn't it? He went to work on their mall defence and stuff like that. Like, and then Sam Simmons. A bit of a surprise, but do you know what? I'm quite happy with it. You know, Simmons could play probably seven if he needed to. Obviously, he'd play eight. And surely he'll bring a bit of impact. You know, it is harsh on Watson. I suppose that he didn't get the bench spot. I think more so because Simmons covers probably six, seven, eight, doesn't he? If you need him to. But yeah, I mean, same again. I hope he comes on and makes a huge difference. But here's the thing, and we're saying about this whole team. I'm saying there's impact. You've got your Russells, you've got your Macos, your Cameron Dickies, your Sinclairs, your Simmons. It only works if you use them properly. Simmons isn't going to come on and be a defensive number. He's not going to be, you know, he's there for X Factor, isn't he? And you've got to use him in that role. But listen, you know, do I think this team can win on Saturday? Yes. Yes, I do. The other thing to take into consideration is, you know, obviously there's a lot of people are upset that certain players have missed out. Obviously, there's a lot of Scots who dropped out for this last test. You know, there's a lot of pressure on, you know, there's a lot of pressure on an Adams and a Sanjay and a Wyn Jones to come in and start that game because they haven't played. Obviously, you know, the expectation is Josh Adams and Sanjay are going to, you know, change the aerial battle completely, which, you know, it might not happen. So
a lot of pressure on particularly Liam Williams.
Yeah, because he'll take shit. If he drops the first ball, I'm not going on Twitter on Saturday at all because it's just, you know, there's a lot of pressure on them. But they're all good players. They've all played in big games. Let's just see what happens. I mean, the other thing to talk about, I said about, you know, the South Africa team. So the South Africa team is obviously changed quite a bit. There's no Faf de Klerk. There's no Peter Steph de Toy. Two huge players for them. Huge. And this is why I think Mostert's gone into the back row. And this is where you have to move South Africa around. You know, he is essentially a second row playing in the back row. He will not want to be defending the wide channels. Listen, you know, he might make me look stupid, but, you know, my opinion is you won't want to defend in wide channels like back rows do. And the scrum half who's come in, Reinach, he's a very good player. He's rapid.
He won the place for Harlequins, didn't he?
No. He played for Northampton. He plays for Montpellier now.
He did play for Northampton, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's as an attacking threat. But I'm not sure whether his kicking games is quite as good as Faf's, because, you know, Faf's up there with, you know, him and Aaron Smith have probably got the best box kick in the world. So, you know, it might, you know, I think someone was saying they'll play more off 10, more off Pollard. So that, you know, that increases pressure on Pollard. And they haven't got a bomb squad on the bench. You know, they've reverted back to a 5-3 split. So, Yeah, interesting. I still think they'll be favourites, South Africa. They should be full of confidence. What I'd like to see, though, is with Gatland keeping faith, you know, with Laws, Curry, Itoje, Alwyn Jones, these sort of players, it puts a rocket up their arse, you know. You know, no players going on the pitch to lose, are they? You know, I just, you know, yeah, I'm just hopeful, very hopeful. I still think they can win.
I agree. I still think the Lions can win. I just think they need the main thing they need to do is just open up, play a bit more rugby. I get that the first half is going to be very much the same. It's going to be kicking again, I think, the first half. And then I think they're just going to hope it opens up a little bit in the second half. I would love, I don't want Dan Williams, Dan Bigger to get injured or anything like that, but I'd like to see Finn Russell come on early because I just love for him to just like literally tear it up, literally just tear it up and
The flip side, there's a lot of pressure on Russell, isn't there?
Yeah.
As soon as he comes on, he's got to do something. And I hope he comes on and wins the game, I would be buzzing. But I'd be very tempted if he came on and failed, I'd be very tempted to put some shit on Twitter about it. To be fair, like, because you know, I wouldn't do it, mate. I think a lot of people have been massively pathetic in the last few weeks, and it's not exactly been the most enjoyable Lions tour probably more so because I've only been on Twitter for about fucking 2 years or something like that. Like, but just, yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
It's been horrible, isn't it? It's been horrible. I've been like, I'm quite a chill person. I've been like messaging you going, oh, Twitter's making me so angry. It's more that it's like, for me, I think it's been like the disrespect, like so-and-so should be in a team because so-and-so so-and-so's not very good. He shouldn't be in the squad. Well, he's in the squad because he's a good player, you know? I say about Elliot Daly, like he didn't have a good game in the first game and that. He's still a good player. And you know, very much deserving of his place in the squad.
And the Lions have used him. The Lions have used him in his proper position.
Yeah, exactly.
As a centre.
And you saw in the open games. I know it was against lesser opposition and things like that. But when he gets the ball in space, he's a good player.
Yeah. No. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, I think and I'm not having. It does sound like I'm having a go at Scottish people. I'm not. But obviously, Scottish people have got far more excited about this tour because there's been more involvement. Let me finish. Right. A lot of journalists and a lot of people have said their things about, you know, that you can do this, they can't do that. Someone should be picked out of a Scotsman. Sad. I get why you're upset about that. But then at the end of the day, still on this tour, only one Scottish player hasn't played a test. And I feel sorry for Ferguson. Obviously, you were probably crossing your fingers that Sinclair got done for biting. But they have been involved. And, you know, at the end of the day, just because some fucking journalist says it bad, I know it's frustrating. Of course it is. But I think their frustration has turned into, like you said, and it's the same with Wales. I mean, Wales fans have been annoyed. I can see why they're annoyed by Josh Adams. But then they were getting annoyed by Faletau not getting picked. I disagree with that. You know, at the end of the day, the chances he had on tour didn't really take him. So I don't know where people are arguing with that. All right, he's experienced and all that, but I don't think Conan's done anything wrong. Irish, they've had huge meltdowns, haven't they? Into someone like Stephen Ferris or something like that. You know, like I seen something the other day. I won't mention who put it on Twitter, but you know, they were like, it was such and such. Hell, I'd even take Navidi right now. And you're like, that's so disrespectful. Like he's some sort of fucking chump. Like the guy's an absolute top class rugby player.
Yeah,
and I'm sure if he played on Saturday, he'd have a good game or make, you know, give it
he'd
a good
do a job, wouldn't he?
Yeah, of course, yeah. And I think I think one of the reasons is it's the most competitive, it's the best team they've ever picked for God knows how long, you know. I mean, I never seen the players play in the 70s and all that. And, you know, by all accounts, they're all, you know, we know that they're all legends, some of the players that played down then. But in my time watching the Lions, I think this is the most talented squad all round that they're about to pick. And that's what makes it so hard. I just think, like, it's just soured it a bit.
Yeah, no, I agree, mate. Agree. Social media is horrible, mate. And I could happily say I'm waiting until the end of the Lions tour now, so it all goes a bit quiet, and I can stop getting worked up about who's getting picked.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, everyone's entitled to an opinion. Obviously, we have a podcast. It's all our opinion. We're not saying, you know, I think I'm right. I say it. But that's not to say someone else would disagree with me, and I'm happy to admit that as well. But I just think, like, it's just been, I've tried to stay out of it. There's so many times where I thought I'll comment on this and comment on that, and I just thought, do you know what? There's no point, because you just end up, it's like, there's no right answer, is there? You know?
No, so, exactly, yeah.
Also, I'll say, I've said it every week, I think there was a reporter, I think I retweeted it, there was a reporter who put something out there saying, like, I wish I wrote it down now. It was something like, listen, the team's been selected. He has not selected this team to annoy you, to annoy a country. He selected a team that he thinks will win a game. So end of, you might not like it, but just get behind it. It was something around them lines. And it's exactly right. It's exactly right. You know, Gatland on Townsend and Tandy and whatever, you know, there's people going, oh, you know, you can see the selection, you can see where Tandy and Townsend have had their, of course they have their coaches, yeah. Of course they have their say. So yeah, so what's your prediction? We'll finish up.
Oh, what's my prediction?
Oh, mate, put you on the spot there.
So obviously I want Lions to win, but I do think South Africa will win by 6.
So, on the podcast, I said they'd win by 5 again, like the first half. I actually changed my mind over the weekend. I think I said it to you, and I texted it to my mate saying I thought South Africa would win. The whole wounded animal sort of thing. And I'm with you. I think South Africa win again. I do think it's going to be a lot closer. I do think we might see something a bit different from the Lions. You know, I think Gatland, in attack-wise, they kept their cards close to their chest. And partly maybe they just thought they could get away with the same tactics, similar sort of tactics in the first test and then work. So hopefully you see something a bit different. I would love to sit here next week or take any shit. I'll take any shit if the Lions win. But yeah, I fancy South Africa. I'm with you. But I think it's probably about by 4. I'll do South Africa by 4.
I'm hoping Finn Russell to come in, win it for the Lions.
Anyone, honestly, just, yeah, Finn. I hope Tom Curry has a blinder. You know, I like you say, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Conor Murray, come on, do something amazing. It would brighten up my day. I just got to remember, if we do win, not to go too mad, because I'm still sore.
Yeah.
Broke a rib, sucked it.
I've got no plans, but I'm just watching it at home this weekend. Nothing planned.
I think a couple of lads are going to come round and watch it here.
Yeah.
I think so. Or I'll just sit here, watch it on my own. Nice and chilled. We'll see. I can have a beer again now. I'm off the strong stuff, so I can get back on the old bevs now. So we'll see. But okay, listen. Enjoy the game. Get behind the team. That's it now. Picked. There's no Lions talk for at least another 2 weeks, and then we'll pick our squad for next year, 4 years' time.
Straight into it.
So just get behind them. Team's been picked. Here's what it is now. They're all good players. They can all do a job. Like you say, not arsed who does it. Let's just fucking win. Let's win, and let's shut some of these South Africans up, because they've been a nightmare on Twitter as well. Thinking the whole world's against them. Anyway, let's not start fights with South Africa. Right, okay, thank you very much for listening. Like you say, hopefully next week we are celebrating Alliance win. And we could be buzzing. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Happy with that, mate. Happy with that.
All right. So then, thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Boy.
Boy. See you in a bit. Bye.